9 years after a lawsuit over abuse of juveniles at Lincoln Hills and Copper Lake Youth Prisons in northern Wisconsin, the facilities still operate. The 2021 state-mandated deadline to close them has long since passed and been extended. They're to be replaced with a new youth prison in Milwaukee, set to open this year, and county-based secure residential care centers. The footage you're about to see could be disturbing. Just after the first such care center opened in Racine County last spring, the state public defender's office learned of an incident shown on camera, where a 15-year-old housed in the Jonathan Delagrave Youth Development and Care Center was punched repeatedly by adult security workers. Staff was asking the boy to return to his room, and he can be heard saying, "Don't touch me." The boy's family has retained a civil attorney, and the office of Representative Angelina Cruz told us she is working to learn more about the incident with the possible intention of having the governor's office investigate the facility. For its part, in a statement to WPR, the administrator of Youth Rehabilitation Services for Racine County said, "Situations like this are complex and unfold quickly," and said, "We maintain our commitment to ensuring that staff have the training, oversight, and support needed to manage difficult situations appropriately and professionally." The Racine County DA declined to prosecute the security staffers, but how does this kind of treatment of a youth offender in trouble for retail theft square with best practices? We turn to the Youth Defense Practice Coordinator in the State Public Defender's Office, Eileen Fredericks. And thanks very much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So when you first saw this footage from cameras inside the facility, what was your reaction?
I was horrified. I had known that there were these allegations, but obviously I didn't know kind of the extent of them. So when I saw them, I was shocked to see that, you know, right out of the gates, this facility opening in May and having this happen. It was so disappointing and upsetting to know that this is kind of the result of, you know, the Lincoln Hills incident and all the problems there. Now we have this new facility opening and the same problems seem to still be there.
Is this kind of incident a rarity, do you think, behind the doors of these facilities?
I mean, research across the country would suggest that it isn't, that, you know, that the punitive nature of these correctional facilities and how they, the power dynamic and these vulnerable youth, that abuse is a major issue in these facilities. And I do think that, you know, the culture obviously isn't what we need it to be. It's not seen as a treatment facility. It's a jail, essentially, for kids. And with that attitude, I think the staff thinks of it that way, and they're not necessarily trained in a treatment mindset. They're not trained to kind of de-escalate situations. They're not trained to recognize in themselves when they're becoming, you know, dysregulated and struggling. It obviously seemed to be the case in this situation.
Because this facility, when it talks about itself, it talks about that kind of care and support, but it looks just like a correctional facility.
Yes. And I think that, you know, when they built this, they, you know, had all this beautiful ideas about what it was going to look like, but they did not really, I think, have a treatment focus like they could have. I think that they already had a facility in Racine that was housing kids long term, and they had that just kind of moved to this nice new building and hoped that it would kind of just carry itself. But the culture and the staff and the ideas that the workers are coming with are really what drive how the kids respond, right? That they have the support that they need, that they're building relationships, that they want to help the kids, that they see the kids as kids and not as, you know, criminals or inmates.
You've touched on this a little bit, but why does this kind of volatile violence inside these facilities persist?
I do think it's a cultural thing, and I think that they just are not basically coming from a treatment model to begin with, that they're kind of like, this is a correctional facility, this is a prison for kids. They call it a school, but, you know, everything about it kind of screams like it's more, we're just controlling these kids, not we're actually trying to rehabilitate them. And so there are residential treatment centers in the state that actually are built around a model of treatment, and they are much more, I think, working on, you know, rehabilitating and building relationships and providing therapy and doing assessments and seeing what needs the kids have and then responding to those needs, where I think that this is a setting where it's a much more one-size-fits-all, and really they don't have the, you know, the goal of getting to the bottom of kind of what was going on. They're more just trying to hold them for the time that they, you know, keep them out of the community for the time that they feel is appropriate and is allowable under the law.
What kinds of laws do staff and administrators of these juvenile facilities have to follow pertaining to treatment of children that are housed in them?
So as far as their, you know, qualifications, I just think that they, a lot of them just need to have a high school diploma, these people who are coming in there, and they're not, the counselors are not the ones who are supposed to be necessarily providing the treatment, but the whole culture of the institution or like of the facility is very much driven by who the kids are seeing on a regular basis. And they're much more frequently seeing these youth counselors and the people who are kind of the correctional guards there than they are the treatment providers that might be there once a week or something like that. So they do need to be building relationships and understanding the kids and trying to figure out how to address the needs that they have. So I think that there needs to be a lot more training, you know, ahead of time. They need to be much more thoughtful about who they're hiring, and, you know, these jobs don't pay well, so it isn't that we're gonna get people who have tons of experience working with kids, but we have to have people with the right mindsets, who are empathetic, who understand trauma, who wanna work with kids, not people who are thinking they're coming to this correctional setting where they can control kids.
Well, is there a list of kind of best practices for helping and supporting and also housing youth offenders?
There are lots of resources out there. You know, the Annie E. Casey Foundation, the Galt Center, who that provide guidelines, and they put out things, the Sentencing Project. There's lots of resources that talk about the harms of incarceration just to begin with. So first of all, I think we should be using it as an absolute resort, last resort. We should not be incarcerating kids if we don't need to. And somebody who's in there for retail theft, I don't think that's appropriate. But I think that when there are times when people need to, you know, when people are, they feel like there are no other options and no other placements will take them, and that they need to do this for the protection of the community, there are best practices that really look at assessment, that really look at getting to the bottom of, like, what are their actual needs and how can we specifically address those needs, and having an individualized for each kid there, so that, and then also when they are able to be released for a time, you know, some of these facilities, there was an the transfer over from this facility in Racine, there was a program that was just a detention facility that's also allowable under the statute that allowed for, you know, there's a potential for kids to be able to be released for small periods of time. And that helps kids build skills to, like, be out in the community that, you know, they can't build when they're locked up and they don't have the opportunities that they have. So I think that there are lots of clear best practices that we need to get on board with in the state.
As additional facilities open, including the one in Milwaukee, how might this incident in Racine inform the treatment and care of juvenile offenders?
They need to really look at these best practices. They need to be very careful about how they're staffing these places. They need to have a leadership that is empathetic, that is, you know, positive in their mindset toward these kids, and really be focused on making sure that they hire people who have, who kind of demonstrate a positive culture in the facility. That did not seem to happen in Racine. I think that, you know, just even that there was four people involved in this incident and then it just didn't come out, and I just don't know how that happens. It needs to be that everybody kind of is, like, you know, eyes on and expecting of each other that they're treating these kids with care and compassion.
All right, we leave it there. Eileen Fredericks, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Who works in corrections or in juvenile corrections, saying, you have no idea how these kids come to us, right? I mean, as we know, there's a lot of baggage and trauma, mm-hmm. and anger and all of that. So
it's, yeah, I mean, I work with those kids every day, and like they are, you know, 95% of the time absolutely regulated and can be very calm. I mean, there are some extreme examples where kids are really out of control, you know, but these kids do not need to be treated like animals, and they kind of are. Like the facility that was in Racine, the detention facility before they moved over, they basically had kind of a philosophy of like, we're just gonna observe the kids. Like we'll have them in the room by themselves and we'll just make sure nothing bad happens. But that's not rehabilitative, that's jail. That's you're in your cell, we'll make sure that you don't hurt each other because that would be against our rules, but not like any real effort to better for them, you know. And when they moved over to this new facility, that wasn't going to be allowable under this the whole plan for like these secure residential care centers, and a lot of the staff like balked at that. They're like, we're not going to do, you know, we're not going to sit down and talk with these kids, you know, same thing that you were just saying, like these kids are out of control. And then it clearly is problematic, and I think that they, you know, probably should have kind of been like, you know, unless we feel confident that you're going to be able to get on board with this new philosophy and really wanting to build a relationship with the kids, then we can't keep you. But I don't think they did that.
You would think that there, well, I mean, it's not easy. I get it.
Right.
I get it.
It isn't. And I think that it is very hard to get out of the mindset that, like, because our whole country is like kind of built around this. And something I didn't say is like, you know, kids are not little adults, but I think it's easiest for judges and even some of the people who are involved to just like handle juvenile court like adult court. And like the options in adult court are, you know, probation and jail. So it's harder for them to wrap their head around like, well, we could try these treatment centers, or there's all these community-based services that the county could contract to provide all this help for these kids. And they, instead of doing, you know, let's have a conversation, you know, and see what would best meet their needs. They're kind of like, well, they've messed up at home so many times, we can't do supervision again, and we don't want to pay for one of these other facilities, so we're going to put them in the jail. And that's essentially what the Racine County Detention Center was prior to the move. There's more regulation now where it's now that secured residential care center where they have to follow, you know, more guidelines in terms of what they have to provide, but it's still underregulated, and it's still kind of like hoping that the right people are in the right positions there to build a culture that actually rehabilitates kids and helps them and isn't, you know, super punitive, which these kind of facilities tend to be.
How's that boy doing?
I think he's doing okay. I talk to his lawyer all the time about him. I haven't met him myself, but it sounds like, you know, they're still trying to move him. He still very much wants to be moved. And he does have, you know, struggles, but he's like, it sounds like very affable and like silly and like a nice young kid. Obviously he has like at these times like dysregulation and outbursts, but it sounds like he's doing pretty good. I mean, okay, given the circumstances, I mean, he really wants to get out of there. I don't know that there's been like a lot of major issues with him, but they still are looking for places. And Racine is notorious for not wanting to pay for treatment centers, especially for when they can keep the kids in the county and pay within the county for a placement. And so they have used their jail, their detention center, and then now this facility kind of for every kid, and it's not a good fit for every kid. It's not a good fit for most kids, but there's definitely kids who are more in need of like treatment that they basically, you know, they're more in need of treatment, but they are just like, well, if we lock him up here, then we can tell you good reasons why this is better. Like, he can still visit his mom. If we send him to a treatment center in, you know, Milwaukee or Green Bay, then it would be, right. But it's like, that doesn't override, you know, actually getting the help that he needs and addressing the problems that he has. So, but the places are expensive, so.
And that's borne by the county, then?
It is, yeah. The county pays for those placements.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then they do have to pay, you know, for corrections and stuff, but for the this Circe, the money is all funneled back to Racine. So, and that's how it was with the detention center too. So it's all just keeping the money in the county over caring about what's best for the kid and what services the kid could benefit from the most.
Boy.
Yeah. I had a case with them too. This is the same lawyer who, he's really great too. He had a kid who literally, this kid was in the facility and he was struggling and they just didn't feel like it was working for him. He had like a lower IQ and their curriculum is not, like it doesn't work for kids who have a lower IQ because it's a lot of reading and like having to do a lot of like workbooks on your own. So it's not designed for somebody with a lower IQ. And so he was looking for, he's like, I think this kid should go to a treatment center. And the guardian was saying, I can't deal with him. I can't have him here. Like I'm not able to meet his needs. So they tracked down his mom who he had not seen since like he was, before he was one, he was placed with this guardian and they're like, do you want your son back? And they were just like, oh, we could save money. We'll just put him back with her. She had like lots of stuff in her background that would suggest that she wasn't going to be able to handle this and that it wouldn't be a good idea. But it was like all about money. And they put him back there for, you know, a week before the police got called in. But that was like something where if we would have suggested it and we're like, oh, how about this person that they haven't seen in forever? We place them there. I bet they'll do great. The judge would have been like, you're crazy, but the human services did it. And they're like, okay, let's try it. And then probably set back that kid from even being able to have a relationship with his mom in the future, you know, several steps back because now she called the police on him. She wasn't set ready to have him. They didn't have a relationship. They have all this baggage. When I heard that, like that made me like just know for sure that they are really more concerned with money than they are with well-being for kids. And they did that with, that's why they are always putting kids in this basement, and that's why they put this kid with a stranger, essentially, over at a treatment center. He did end up going to the treatment center after he bombed out of mom's
house.
It's so
sad.
Yeah.
So sad.
Really sad.
Do they still do that thing? Do they still do that thing where they send kids out of